Welcome back with Charles Barkley. Once again, Charles, thanks for joining us. Let's shift to tennis for just a second. I thought the way that Serena Williams came in, speaking of being supposedly overweight, and just destroyed Sharapova. When you look at her, and of course, again, it's an African-American athlete in what has traditionally been a white sport. An interesting demonstration and statement this weekend, huh?
Well, she played really well, really fantastic. It was a great thing for her. But I tell you what, man, you know, people got to start appreciating Roger Federer. I mean, if this guy was from the United States, we'd be, first of all, he should have won the Sportsman of the Year probably the last couple of years. And his little run he's on is quite remarkable. And, hey, I'm happy for Serena, but we got to start talking about Roger Federer here in the United States, because what he's doing, I mean, it's flat-out scary right now. I mean, it's just beautiful to watch. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I actually got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch him. That's how much I enjoy watching him play. Because I was telling somebody, he should have been the Sportsman of the Year the last couple of years. I know we're a little biased here in the United States, but man, people got to start appreciating, because you know, him and Tiger are on a whole different plateau right now. We're definitely watching the greatest golfer who ever lived, and we probably, you know, people say this guy might be the greatest tennis player who ever lived, and we got to start giving him some love, because if he was from the United States, we'd be falling all over him, and we ain't never had anybody in the United States other than probably Pete Sampras who's been on this guy's level. I mean, it's just something beautiful to watch.
As much as I think Tiger ultimately will probably prove levels of greatness even beyond that, because Federer's career in tennis is going to be shorter, I got to give the edge to him right now. How would you compare the two? To me, the fact that Federer has to play against an opponent who's running him around, the chances of injury, of fatigue, of all the things that can take away from your game and consistency the way that they would not in golf, those things are much more prevalent in tennis.
Well, I'm not sure, because realistically, there's probably only five people realistically that can beat Roger Federer if everything goes perfectly. You know, Tiger's competing against 125 guys every week, and I mean, that's the beauty of what Tiger's doing. He's competing. There's probably 25 guys realistically that could beat Tiger week in and week out. But Roger, realistically, I'm probably being unfair. There's probably three guys on a given week that have a legit shot at beating Roger Federer. I mean, he's just better than they are. And Tiger, if he's got his A game, they ain't got a chance. But he's very seldom going to have your A game. What he did at the U.S. Open a few years ago, what he did at the British Open last year. But man, I'm just going to enjoy it. I mean, obviously, I think Tiger Woods is the greatest golfer who ever lived. If he quit playing golf today, it wouldn't even be a contest. I think he'd be the greatest golfer. I mean, obviously, he's playing against better players. He's playing against more players. The players today got better equipment to make guys who are not very good, good. Equipment is really a big deal in golf. But you got some guys who are good players who, because of equipment, have become great players. And I'm just enjoying it, man. It's beautiful, beautiful to watch. But what Serena did was incredible.
Right. Charles, tell me, as you have known Tiger over the years, and with Serena, of course, one of the things we talked about yesterday was the effect of the focus and the maturing that took place out of the tragedy of the murder of her sister, and she dedicated it to her sister. And I wanted to have a comment about that, but also about Tiger and how, since the death of his father, that he has matured, he's about to have a kid, and the changes and the maturing that you see in him over the last year.
Well, I think last year was really tough, and obviously, you know, I haven't lost a parent, so I don't know, but it's got to be a monumental thing. But what I tell people, because people ask me, you know, about Tiger, how's his kid going to affect him? I said, he's going to beat their brains in harder because he needs to pay for some diapers.
Yeah.
once he got over his dad's thing, this guy got a one-track mind. Nothing's going to distract him. I know everybody want to hope and pray that he gets distracted. He's not going to get distracted. He has a one-track mind. And all this baby going to do is make him want to beat their brains in more to pay for them diapers. That's it. There's nothing going to distract him. You know, I talked to Tom Weisskopf about 10, 12 years ago, and he said something very profound to me. He said, this guy's going to be the greatest golfer ever. He's going to set records that's never going to be broken. And he says, only a couple things can screw his life up. The death of his parents, or if he got in a bad marriage and it was miserable. And he told me that like 10, 15 years ago, the great Tom Weisskopf. And it was just like amazing, his foresight to like say that. Because, you know, he really struggled with his dad being sick. He couldn't focus. You know, at the Masters, he was trying to win too hard. He was really grinding, trying to win that last major because he knew his dad wasn't going to make it much longer. But, hey, once he got past that, hey, man, this guy is got a single focus, and I'm glad he's a friend of mine, but I'm glad to be able to say in my day I saw this guy play, and it's beautiful to watch.
Buddy, my friend Gary McCord told me to ask you if Tiger can remake his swing the way he did the last couple years ago. Don't you think it's possible you can do the same?
You know, Gary's been really talking to me a lot about going lefty. And
wow.
First of all, I would be so humiliated and embarrassed to play lefty because, you know, I can't see myself. Gary's been great. Let me first of all say that. He's been really talking to me for the last year about going lefty, saying he would take the time and spend the time with me, which I really appreciate. But I don't want to start over. Like right now, I'm not even playing. But I don't foresee myself going back and scrapping everything and playing lefty. I just don't see myself doing that. I don't want to start over again. I'm just going to, you know, play occasionally when I'm playing with something for charity. But that's it. I ain't going to go crazy about that game anymore. I was pretty good at one thing.
There you go. Well, you know what? My secret is I just don't play much. That way I have no expectations. And usually the first couple times I come back, I play about as good as I'm going to play. It's when I start playing again 3 and 4 and 5 times, then I start thinking I got to get better because of all of those competitive juices I used to have in the other sports.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Like, you can only smoke so many cigars and drink so much beer if you suck at something. And that's the thing that's been frustrating. That's the thing, you know, when I used to be a good player, it was great to go out there and smoke cigars and be. That's the thing I love about golf the most, Nick. That's one of the few places somebody of my level can get peace and quiet. You know, when you go to the dry cleaner, people bug the hell out of you. When you go to the supermarket, they bug you. I really enjoyed getting 3 of my friends, especially when I'm on the East Coast during the summer, being out in the wilderness, being out there, just being out there and getting peace and quiet. And that's probably the thing I miss the most. There's really no other sport that you can play where you can get peace and quiet.
Ask O.J. Simpson.
Well, I try not to mention him too much, Nick. Because, you know, about a month ago, I said, we as black people, we're not claiming him anymore.
I tell you what, I don't know what led him to think that he could even get close to doing that story about, you know, if I did do it, here's how I did do it. But, Charles, I just want to take 2 seconds to say, for those people that haven't met Charles Barkley, for those people that haven't witnessed him in public, he is one of the most gracious and patient people I have ever seen, given the kind of attention he gets. And people need to give him some credit for that, and that's why most people love him that have met him. And the other people that have been jerks, well, guess what? They were jerks in the first place. So I just wanted to make sure people understand that about you, man, because it's not easy. It's one thing to be nice for an hour, but when it's all the time, I ask anybody to have to deal with that.
Well, you know, Nick, 90% of the people that I meet are fantastic. And the other 10%, I went to jail for knocking the hell out of them. And I got no problem with that. You know, that's, you know, sometimes my temper, when I had to punch people, but it doesn't bother me going to jail for a couple hours. They deserve to get hit.
Yeah, but that hasn't happened in a while, and I think most people would agree that have seen you is how much you have become, you know, a role. I know you'd hate to hear this, but I mean, you really have become a role model, and you really have become somebody that a lot of young black athletes and athletes in general look up to.
Well, I just want these young guys to realize it's an honor and a privilege to play sports, but at the end of the day, the sports don't mean that much. It's what you do away from the court, what you do for your community. That's the thing that's going to matter at the end of the day.
Well, Charles, when we come back, we're going to talk about your feelings about Lovie Smith and Tony Dungy, two people that I've been lucky, particularly Tony, to get to know. We're going to be joined by Dan Reeves. Talk about the particular role of the head coach and how important those leaders in authority, not just the players, but in this case, this new signpost in the history of race relations and what it means. When we come back with Charles Barkley, Sir Charles, and Dan Reeves, legendary coach formerly of the Broncos, the Giants, and the Atlanta Falcons. We'll be right back on Sirius Channel 122 and Sports Byline.